will do. And because of the extra things we go on next week, it might be the last Sunday of the month before we finish this. But we're finishing it up, and I'll try to make it brief as it doesn't necessarily apply to us. However, as I said from the beginning, hopefully you appreciate what you believe, what the Word of God teaches, and I hope that you're aware then that there are people, and there will be people in Custer this week that believe some of the crazy things that we've been studying. And we need to appreciate what the Bible says. And we should always, as they go by us, wherever we meet people, we should always be saying to ourselves, but for the grace of God, there go I. There would be me. That would be me who has that weird concept and weird thing and weird faith that they believe and are hoping in. So tonight we're looking at something called Unitarian Universalists, all right? It was founded 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea. A merger of the Unitarians and the Universalists took place in 1959 in America. The followers were about 150,000 back then anyway. Writings. First writer was Martin Salarium, a friend of Martin Luther, who advanced Unitarian views in 1527, followed by Ludwig Hatzer, Michael Servetus, Fausto Sozzini, known as Socinus. In America, there was Jonathan Mayhew, Joseph Priestley, William Ellery Channing, and Ralph Waldo Emerson. The teaching of Unitarianism claims to be a form of Christianity but denies the historic doctrines of the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, the vicarious atonement, the bodily resurrection, and the second coming of Christ. Well, those are major doctrines. The following statement by Unitarian Church spokesman Reverend Carl M. Chorowski is sufficient to reveal the position of this cult. Unitarians believe in salvation of a character. God's help is not likely to come to those who cast all their burdens on the Lord. There is practical wisdom in the saying, God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? Well, that's not really biblical. But that's what they believe, that God just helps your character and then you have to do the work. But that's not salvation by grace without works. If by heaven you mean an abode of eternal life where the saved and redeemed enjoy everlasting bliss, and if by hell you mean the devil's eternal darkness where the wicked suffer unending torment, the Unitarian emphatically repudiates such beliefs. Well, obviously, then they don't believe the Bible. Madison, can I ask you to give your copy to Treg, who just came in? I apologize for doing that to you, but thank you for doing that for me. All right, appreciate that. And so in conclusion, a Unitarianism, along with Russellism or Jehovah's Witnesses, makes a God of human reason and overrules the authority of the Word of God. In other words, God just helps you to have the character to figure it out. No, God helps you to be born again and to be a new person. All right, let's keep going. Unity School of Christianity. And the founder of the Unity School of Christianity is Charles and Myrtle Fillmore back in 1889, Kansas City, Missouri. The followers were 1.5 million at one time. Publications published in Lee's Summit, Missouri, their Wee Wisdom for Children, Sunday School Quarterly, Good Business for the Working Man, Weekly Unity Devotional Magazine, Unity Magazine, the False Teachings, and Reincarnation. The similarities between Unity and Christian Science are due to the fact that Myrtle was a convert to Christian Science before they decided to start the Unity School of Christianity. And these are just people who take the name of Christ but use it for some cultish belief. Charles Fillmore became involved in Spiritism and Hinduism, incorporating a modified form of reincarnation into Unity in 1893. Yoga, with its vegetarianism, was incorporated into Unity. As far as God, Unity differs from Christian Science in that it teaches that God is expressed in matter as well as in mind or spirit. One example of what Unity teaches concerning God will suffice to show the reason Unity is relegated to a cult classification. God is not loving, God is love. Okay, what does that mean? Well, God does not love anybody or anything. God is love in everybody and everything. And so there is no God who loves us. It's just that God is love. Drop from your mind the idea that God is a being of majesty and power in the sense that you now interpret majesty and power. Drop from your mind that the belief that God is in any way separated from you, and that he occupies form or space outside of you, or that he can be manifested to your consciousness in any way except through your own soul. So you are really God. God's inside of you. This is just nuts, okay? This is wicked, actually. And they had a huge mail-order religion, largest in the world, 1.5 million members at one time, largest Gnostic cult within what's called Christendom. All right, so we've gone through those pretty fast. I don't know of anybody personally that is involved with that. Maybe you do. But then there's the Worldwide Church of God, and you might have heard of this one. This had a little more traction for a while. Herbert W. Armstrong, called Armstrongism, I think, sometimes. And we'll spend a little bit more time on this one, but not terribly amount, but we'll spend some more time on this one. And he was an advertising promotional man who failed in business in the Pacific Northwest. He began a personal study of the Bible to refute his wife's argument that salvation was available only to those who had ceased transgressing God's law. Unfortunately, he lost the argument, and that's where this whole thing comes from. He decided to agree with her. Once this had been attained, then one could be granted God's free gift by ceasing to sin. Armstrong came to the same conclusion as his wife and began writing and doing evangelistic work in Eugene, Oregon in 1931. And they were obviously quite technologically advanced for the day, because by 1934 they had their own TV program, which had to have been awfully early. Plain Truth Magazine, World Tomorrow TV program. Armstrong sponsored more radio and television programs on more stations than any cult in the world. A college was later established in Pasadena, California, called Ambassador College. Followers, Plain Truth subscribers, number 1 million plus. But here's the false teaching. Basically, the main thing about them is that they teach that the 10 lost tribes of Israel are the white-raced people, the white-skinned people. It's called Anglo-Israelism or British Israelism, a theory originating with Richard Brothers in the 1700s, 1800s, in the Elizabethan era in England. It came to this hemisphere over 100 years ago, and Armstrong has given it a Christian twist to it. The main premise is that the 10 tribes were lost when the Jews, or I would say Israelites, from the northern tribes, were captured by the Assyrians under King Sargon, and that these so-called lost tribes were in reality the Saxae, or Scythians, who surged westward through northern Europe, and maintains they eventually became the ancestors of the Saxons, who later invaded England. The theory maintains that the Anglo-Saxons are the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and are substituted in Anglo-Israel interpretation for the Israel of the Bible. Now, let me stop here and say that there could very well be some very strong physical evidence that the 10 lost tribes, and when I say lost tribes, in 1722 B.C., in about 2 Kings chapter number 16, 17, and 18, is when the northern kingdoms, the 10 northern tribes, were taken away by the Assyrians. And they were assimilated, and they were pretty much wiped out. God had had enough of them. And what was left was the Samaritans, because Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. And see, after Solomon, Rehoboam messed up and the kingdom divided, and there was Judah, the southern kingdom, and it was basically Judah with Benjamin and Levi. And then there were the 10 northern tribes that was called Israel. And so as you're doing your Bible reading, in fact, it's right now in our Bible reading in the calendar was today's reading. And so if you're doing the Bible reading, you get to 2 Kings, and all of a sudden, for the first time ever, the word Jew shows up in the Bible. Now, today, everybody says Jew, and they think 12 tribes. But technically speaking, in the Bible, Jew referred to the Judah tribe, or the Judah nation, the southern kingdom. So the northern tribes were assimilated, and they went north and northeast. So I believe that there is strong possibility that some of that migration got up into Great Britain, all right? But, of course, what's wrong with all this? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, okay? All right? It doesn't matter. Even if it's true, it doesn't matter, because that's not how we get to heaven. And it doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons. God did pay attention to genealogies, and genealogies were very important to God. But when did that stop? At the birth of Jesus Christ. The last genealogy you have in the Bible is the record of Christ proving that he was a descendant of Abraham and David, and that he was who God said he would be, and proving the promises to Abraham, David, and all them would be fulfilled. But later on, Paul clearly says it a couple times in Timothy and Titus, Paul says, do not pay attention to endless genealogies. Okay? And so it's wrong to do that. And of course, this leads, of course, to racism. And of course, in the 1800s, you know, that was no big deal to think of the white race as better than everyone else. But it doesn't matter if you're a Christian. All right? So that's what's wrong with this. Now, what does the Bible say in Galatians chapter 3? It says that we are children of God and children of Abraham by faith. All right? Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 3. Couple places. Verse number 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And verse 9 says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So how do you get to be counted as the true Israelite? You get saved. Salvation makes you a spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, as it says in Galatians chapter 6, the Israel of God. And Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. What does that mean? That means that just because you were a physical descendant of Abraham doesn't mean you are a true Israelite. Because you could be a physical born from Abraham physically, but never get saved. Judas. I don't think Judas ever got saved. But one day, Jesus met a guy named Nathanael, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed. I think that meant he was a believer. And so this is something that's misunderstood. And of course, you've got some people, you've got something called the Hebrew Roots Movement going on right now. And they're all the same idea. And only, I think with that, you have like the black people saying that they're the lost tribes. And then you've got the green people saying it, and the orange people, you know what I'm saying? It's just, everybody wants to say it, right? But the point is that it's about being saved. All right? It doesn't matter what color. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. The color of skin means nothing to God. God's no respecter of persons. There's a lot of racism and prejudice that gets put into Christianity that's not so. But it is faith that makes us the child of Abraham, not flesh and blood. All right? We know that. We must be born again. Jesus looked at a Jew named Nicodemus and said, in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. Doesn't matter what your pedigree is, you must be born again. I said this morning that if you're not saved, you'll die twice. But if you're born again, you'll only die once. All right? So what I'm saying is that there could be some physical truth to this, but not spiritual. Because even if you really are a descendant of Abraham and your ancestors migrated up into Britain and maybe even some of them got over into America, unless you get saved, that doesn't mean a thing. It means nothing. All right? And so all this is just hogwash because of that. When Great Britain was in its glory, it was affirmed that it was the Anglo-Israel. Since its decline and loss of colonies, it is now asserted that the United States is the covenant one, maintaining as they do that Ephraim is Great Britain and Manasseh the United States. Israel itself is considered to be Judah, and due to its being under God's curse, not to be identified as Israel. Thus, all the promises in the Bible are to be applied to Great Britain and the United States of America. And even though this sounds crazy, I know people that live in Custer County who believe this. They believe that they are part of this group. Okay, that's just as much of a pride that'll send them to hell as it would be a Jew who thinks they're going to heaven because they're a Jew. Or a black person thinking that the Hebrew movement is for them, or whatever it might be. Unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven. Ezekiel 37 talks about how that God's going to take Israel and Judah and make them one stick again. One nation, and there'll be one shepherd, and of course that's Jesus Christ. And I believe that when he comes back, I believe that God will fulfill the promises and prove that the 144,000 where all are still intact and God has them all figured out, and God will take care of all that. But the genealogical records ended with the birth of Christ. And Paul told us not to pay attention to that. And in Galatians 3, if you're still there, notice this. This is very important. Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You know, the only time in the entire Bible where the word seeds has an S on the end is that verse. Because seed is singular, and Abraham said, and he said to Abraham, and his seed were the promises made. I know you've heard this. It gets said all the time. We have to bless the Jews because the Jews are Abraham's descendants. And God said, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you and your descendants. That's not what God said. God said in Genesis chapter 12, Treg, God said, I'll bless you, Abraham, and I'll bless your seed, Christ. You bless Abraham and you bless the seed of Abraham, which is Christ, you'll be blessed. Now, you look at America. When we were a blessing to Jesus Christ, we were blessed. But I think, last count, it was $11 million a day. I think they're trying to up it to $20 million right now. Maybe they got it done this summer. But our Congress has given away about $20 million, between $11 to $20 million every day to Israel, the current Israel. We're not getting $11 million of blessings every day. But it's based on a faulty assumption that if we'll bless the descendants of Abraham. I was there once, and I asked the Jewish guide to tell me which tribe he was from. He said, you know what? I can't. And the truth is, none of them can. They can't prove anymore. One guy said, my real name, I won't tell you my real name, but I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I just moved here. I migrated here and claimed citizenship here. And I go by, and he gave me his other name. And he said, but I don't know if I, the truth is, probably all of us have Abraham's DNA in us. I mean, have you ever done a DNA study and realized how connected we all are? If you go on the internet, there's a neat video about DNA and racism. And they've got this whole group of just various people from all different color shades of skin. And this one guy, he's got a German background, and he says, I'm German. My family's been German. We've been German for years. And you can tell he's just a little, he's just kind of cocky and haughty about himself and kind of racist in his attitude towards the darker-skinned people. So they did this DNA test with everybody in the room. Turns out that guy had a large percentage of African in him. Okay? I mean, I believe that the Bible says in Acts, it says he has made of one blood all the nations of men. I mean, when you get a blood transfusion, it doesn't matter what color skin the person was. Made of one blood, all nations of men. And so this is a very bad, sad, racist teaching, but a lot of it is going on in churches. And I'm in communication with a man in Pakistan. He's a Christian. And he loves to communicate with me because I understand this, because a lot of preachers don't understand this. And they lift up the current Israel or the Jew in a higher pedestal to the shame of the rest of the people, and the gospel is hindered. Because the Middle Eastern people look at Christians as being favoritism to the Jew. And it's very shameful what's going on right now. And we should have no part of that. And it shouldn't matter what color a person is. It doesn't matter. We should recognize what God did when he died on the cross. He died for every human being, and it doesn't matter. So let's say that they are correct. Let's say, I'll just say, go, fine, great. You know what? Bible says you still need to get saved. So what? I mean, when you die, your flesh is going to just dissolve into the ground. Then you won't be any color, you know? So what's all this nonsense about anyway? It's just sad. And though there's some verses here about refuting that, Ezekiel and Ezra, things like that. Zechariah, it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. and ye shall be a blessing, fear not, but let your hands be strong. And I believe it is salvation that's going to bring all this back together. And I believe that that's how God's going to prove that he kept his promises, because there's people in Pakistan or people in Iraq or Iran or in Somalia or Sudan or wherever, and they get saved, and God proves that we're really just one people and one family. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, Paul said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, understand something. Paul could call himself a Jew because he was of what tribe? Does anybody know what tribe Paul was from?
Benjamin.
Remember I said which tribes were the Judah? Judah, Benjamin, and half the tribe of Levi, or half the tribe of Manasseh, I believe. And Levites weren't, of course, didn't count. They were just the priestly tribe. And so Paul says, I am a Jew. Now turn with me over to Philippians chapter 3. I don't know why our book didn't go to Philippians 3, but we need to. And as we're going there, I'll read this other verse, Romans chapter 11. Now Paul said he's a Jew, but he also said he's an Israelite. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. Now, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, why did he say he was a Jew, but then he also said he was an Israelite? Pastor, doesn't that wipe out what you said? No. Because if you were of the tribe of Judah, you were also an Israelite. All right? But the northern tribes were not called Jews, but the southern tribe was called Jews. So if you were a Jew, that means you were an Israelite. And another place to prove that is in Philippians chapter number 3, and Paul's talking about himself, and he says in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And this is why the Pharisees had such a hard time with Jesus, because they could walk around with their pedigree. Remember what the disciples thought when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman? And she said, you're a Jew and you're talking to me? This is what this is all about. This racism divide. Because that Samaritan woman didn't have, papers. She didn't have pedigree. Pedigree was huge. And so imagine the Pharisee Nicodemus coming to Jesus and he says, you must be born again. No, this is my pride and joy, the paperwork that proves I'm from Abraham. And Jesus just says, you need to be born again. He just wiped it all out with what he told him. And that was their pride. That's what they hated him for, because he was downplaying and disrespecting what they thought was most important, that they could prove they were true Hebrews of Hebrews, a Pharisee of the tribe of Israel, or tribe of Judah, and an Israelite. And of course, Revelation 7:4 tells us there's going to be 144,000 of all 12, and God has it all under control. God doesn't need to do any DNA tests. God knows who and where and when and how, and he'll take care of it all. So this is just another one of those false religions, really based on pride and racism, based on white skin, and very sad. And whether it's white skin, black skin, or whatever, don't fall for that. The other false teachings, of course, that they have concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ had a complete human nature and proved that it was possible with God's help to keep the law. No, Jesus was God himself, and he did keep the law, but he wasn't just a human. Sin, God created man's natural mind with a desire to sin. No, God didn't create men to sin. Salvation, the blood of Christ for past sins, but also keeping the Ten Commandments. We talked about this morning in Sunday school how the blood of Christ has always been God's plan. Sabbaths, these are, as well as Old Testament feasts, are to be observed forever. And by the way, some of these people that believe all this, they try to do the Old Testament stuff and the Sabbaths and all that, thinking that that's going to help them with some sort of thing. The Holy Spirit, they don't consider that the Holy Spirit to be a third person of the Trinity. And they believe in something called soul sleep, like some of the others we've talked about, where when you die, you're just unconscious until the resurrection. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches absent from the body, present with the Lord. So when Herbert Armstrong died, his son Garner Ted Armstrong took over, but it didn't stay as popular as it was back in those days. Okay, now the Unification Church. You might not have heard of it, but you've probably heard of Sun Myung Moon. the shining sun and moon. He's dead now. He died in 2012. But at one time, he had 750 followers in Korea and 2 million worldwide. According to Time Magazine Publications, The Divine Principle, this is Moon's bizarre interpretation of biblical events and prophetic ideas, unification thought, philosophical work, Rising Tide, anti-communist newspaper. So he was against communism, but he was very much a heretic and a false religion. According to organization, Moon's intention to be the direct representation of God ruling the human race is evident in the number of organizations the Unification Church has. A few of these are the International Reeducation Foundation, High School International Family Association, Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of the World Christianity, International Cultural Foundation, International Federation for Victory Over Communism, World Freedom Institute, One World Crusade, Professors Academy for World Peace, Project Unity, Educational Redevelopment, Collegiate Association for Research of Principles, American Youth for a Just Peace, New Ideal City Ranch, Spiritual Counterfeits Project Berkeley. There's extensive political involvement by Moon. He has hosted large gatherings with high political office officials as speakers and guests. Now, we read through that list and we think, well, I don't need to know that. But if you're involved in the school system and they're like, hey, the Professors Academy for World Peace wants to come in and speak to our kids. Well, that, you know, well, who are they? And that sounds good for World Peace, Project Unity, American Youth for a Just Peace. That all sounds good. So you kind of check them out, find out who are these people. Now, this is their recruitment, or what they used to do. Moon's followers are recruited, for the most part, from college-age single individuals who are susceptible to this utopian world promise. Converts live communally and work at Moon-owned businesses or do fundraising at their own expense. Marriage is not permitted except to the ones that he has chosen for them, Moon. So there are mass marriages that take place, with as many as 2,075 couples united by Moon. I believe Guinness Book of World Records holds Moon as being the presider of the largest wedding. I mean, you know, just 2,000-plus couples all getting married on the same day. Ex-Moon members have charged that they were brainwashed, told to cut off all ties with family, and told they would go to hell if they left the Moon organization. Moon lives on a 25-acre estate in New York, or at least he did. He died in 2012. His net worth was $15 million. The church buys struggling industries in depressed areas and turns them into profit-making companies. By the way, would you call this a church? Do you see why eventually we'll probably lose our tax exemption status? It's thanks to these guys, all right? These type of people is why, because they fly under the false pretenses of what biblical church is. False teaching, of course, source of authority, claiming to use the Bible while putting the Chinese Book of Changes, or I Ching, and his own direct revelations on equal par. And of course, whenever there's that going on, you have a cult. Trinity, a single God with all kinds of pairs in him, whatever that is. God temporarily attached to a totally human Jesus. And he believes in a female Holy Spirit, so just really goofy stuff. Worse than that, the fall of man. Lucifer seduced Eve, and then Eve seduced Adam. They were created to live as brother and sister, according to Moon, and immorality was then the cause of man's fall. I don't want to get into it, but the creation account and the fall of man and Adam and Eve is totally twisted by some people. Redemption. Jesus failed in his Christly mission. His death was not an essential part of God's plan. Okay, well, we know this is wrong. Jesus was not the unique, only begotten Son of God who was preexistent with the Father before all created things. Well, that's wrong. Jesus attained deity as a man who fulfilled the purpose of creation but can by no means be considered God himself. That's wrong. Redemption, according to Moon, must be completed by another, the Lord of the Second Advent, also called the Third Adam, who will take a bride and form a restored first family of God, is what they believe. And Reverend Moon confides to his own followers that he and his wife are the Third Adam and his bride. So sufficient has been shown to mark Moon as a rank cult leader. Moon was tried and convicted of tax fraud in 1983, sentenced to 18 months in prison in 1984, and the cult hasn't been as highly visible since. And then there's something called the Way International, founder Victor Paul Weirwill, the doctor, quote-unquote, a minister of the United Church of Christ in his late 50s, who had theological training from Mission House Seminary and master's and PhD from Princeton Theological Seminary. By the way, just because someone's a doctor or has PhDs or degrees or went to some kind of a seminary or university does not mean that they know more than somebody who's just a country parson who reads the Word of God and believes it, okay? Pride says, well, I want a preacher that's a doctor of divinity. Well, you might get something like this, okay? He was frustrated at not being able to produce the behavior in people he thought should be forthcoming, and so he began what he called the power of abundant living. He left the denomination and founded the Way Biblical Research Center in New Knoxville, Ohio. Wirral claims, God told me if I would teach the word, he would teach it to me as it hadn't been taught since the first century. His followers, the Jesus Movement, was a prime source for recruiting during the early days. At present, college campuses and military bases are the prime targets. The program is aimed at youth. An annual Rock of Ages festival for followers draws thousands. Publications are the Power of Abundant Living courses. They have to financially commit to the three-hour sessions. The Way Magazine and False Teaching. We've studied all the different false teachings. The refutations, but here goes. Jesus Christ, he is not God, but the Son of God. He is not the Word in John 1:1, but just the revealed Word. Victor Paul Weirwill on Reformation Sunday in 1977 nailed a proclamation to the door of the United Church of Christ that stated in large letters, Jesus Christ is not God, never was, and never will be. The Holy Spirit is not separate from God, but is just God's Spirit, not a separate person. Fall of man, Adam's fall was due to his gaining of knowledge through his full senses instead of spirituality. No, that's not Adam. Adam fell because he sinned. Salvation, believe that Jesus' death redeemed, bought back what Adam forfeited, his spirit. Now one who believes in Christ can begin the renewing of his spirit through receiving the true understanding of the pure word of God. The way was the true teaching needed for this renewal. Just like Mormons, just like all the other ones we've talked about. The Bible's not, you need more than just the Bible. You need what I've got here. Spiritual gifts. Followers of the way learn to speak in tongues. Tongues is where they find the ultimate of their worship. A purely mechanical method has been worked out by Weirwill so that everyone in the way can and does speak in tongues. And tongues is not just for this group. Tongues is for the charismatics and the Pentecostals. And tongues is something that turns your brain off and just your mouth just starts flapping. And the false positions have been refuted biblically that we've read here. And tongues is something that is becoming popular with a lot of people, just in a sensational feeling. And we've talked about that earlier, several weeks earlier. Their internal organization is called the Way Tree. They've got the roots, the headquarters, the trunk, the limbs, the branches, the twigs, the leaves. That's kind of how they describe themselves in their organization. And their external outreach, the Way College in Emporia, Kansas, the Way Bookstore, the Way Productions, Radio and TV Productions, American Christian Press, Total Fitness Institute. The real threat of this cult to young, impressionable minds should not be minimized. Brainwashing techniques are used in the process called renewing the mind. The mindless mechanics of tongues is also a means of emptying the mind so that it can receive impressions. And just like chanting or other things that people do, tongues is a way for people to turn off their brain and just be mindless for a while. And it is a popular thing, and it is wrong. And we're stopping a little bit earlier tonight because the next session will be the non-Christian cults and movements, and we'll just finish that whole session the next time we get together. But in there we have something called Zen Buddhism. We have Nirvana, we have Krishna, Hare Krishna, we have TM, Transcendental Meditation, and Baha'i, and we'll just go through those all together the next time we get together, but it will be a few weeks before we're able to finish this up because of the guest speakers that we have coming in. If you have questions about any of this or would like to order your own book on this, let me know and I can help you get that information. And if you have a question about something we didn't talk about in any of our study, please ask, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. But you realize that, I mean, sometimes you read this, or you like me, you read this, you're like, what in the world? You know? And we tend to smirk and to roll our eyes like, that's stupid. But obviously people, I mean, $15 million for one person? There's a lot of people who follow. There's this Joel Osteen in Texas. And he's talking about how that Muslims have the same God we have. People follow that. Error is popular right now. And people are following false religions and false cults. When this book was written, Joel Osteen wasn't even really gotten going yet. So we don't even read about him in this lesson. But there's a lot of fakers out there and false religions under the name of Christianity. When you meet people this week, and you are going to meet people down at the booth, and you'll meet all from all shapes and sizes and all walks of life, understand, boy, I'm just thankful I just have the Bible. You know, nobody's ever heard of my church, but that's okay. God has, you know. Our church doesn't have a TV program. That's okay. God knows where we are. Our pastor doesn't look nearly as good as Joel Osteen, and his smile isn't nearly as shiny. That's okay. God knows where we are. That we just have to realize that you don't have to have all this man-made blah, blah, blah and sensationalism to have the truth. Isn't that the beauty of the Bible and the Word of God and the church? I mean, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. And even though nobody else pays attention and thinks anything of it, God looks down and sees his people. And we need to be thankful, but we also need to be careful not to be proud or arrogant, because we need to recognize, as I said earlier, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me. I mean, I've heard some crazy, crazy things talking to people. And I try to say it as nice as I can. You really believe that? That's nuts, you know? When they give me some crazy, crazy theories that they have or whatever it might be. I think of someone right now that was trying to tell me that there are plenty of gods. And at first I thought he meant, you know, that God is plural, that he is a Trinity. No, he was a Mormon. I didn't know that at the time. But he's talking about all the gods of the universe. And he believed that, and he died believing that. And he's in hell believing that. That's sad, and we need to recognize the importance of why we're trying to tell people the truth, because Satan is the best soul winner out there. Satan wins more souls than anybody. By all these, and it sounds Christian, you know, they talk about Jesus, it's another Jesus and it's another gospel. It's not salvation. It's not the Word of God. So let's be humbled by what we see and saddened by what we see and what we read about. And I mean, anti-communism, that's a good thing, but when you couple it with everything else, that's not good. And there's just so many that get sucked into something, and they're not aware of what they're in. Well, let's close in prayer tonight. If you have questions, please ask me, and we'll try to answer those. But we're going to close in prayer and then just open into a business meeting tonight before we leave. Lord, we thank you for opportunity. I guess I should say we thank you for the privilege of even knowing the truth and having the simple truth of the Bible. Help us to appreciate, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, about the blood of the Lamb that is the atonement for sin. And when someone starts to tell us that the blood of Christ isn't sufficient or isn't enough, or that God didn't always have that as the plan of salvation, that we know better because we read it and we studied it. Help us to realize that there are people who are sincere out there, but they're sincerely wrong. They're trusting in some religious way of going to heaven. They're trusting in good works. They're trusting in something else. They don't know the Bible is the answer. The simple Bible truth is the way. Help us to recognize that and be aware that not everybody that speaks something in the similar terminology is talking about the same Jesus and the same gospel. Help us to dig a little deeper and ask questions. And if they're saved, they're not going to be offended. And if they are offended, they might not be saved. So help us to be willing to confront people with what they say they believe and ask them if they really know the God of the Bible. And help us to be thankful. May we be humble and thankful that you, in your love and mercy, reached down and found us and pulled us out of some of these false religions and set our feet on a path of clear understanding and truth. Please help the young people in this room right now to realize what a privilege it is just to have what they have already, and having a clear path to righteousness versus some of their friends who go to church on Saturday or think that they're supposed to do good works to get to heaven or whatever else it might be. Help us to be very pitiful for them, not arrogant or proud, but very sad and desiring for them to be saved. Please show us how we can reach people. Help us to be a good witness, a good light for people. And may we be that again this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to open